Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, the YouTube recording. So this will be just like last week. We're going to do a video and an audio version of it. Today, I am super excited to have a new guest on, someone I've been really hoping to get for the past couple months, and now our schedule's aligned. A good friend of mine, a fellow competitor and team member of McClunky Gaming, Kwaishan Jin. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited. I'm glad. Given the scheduler, we were able to align. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, to d this for this for this kind of like episode, I really want to talk about that road to success because your story is very similar to mine. That like I don't think you actually played like a lot of TCGs in general or competitively in the past, right? Like this is like your first one, like pretty much.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I feel like this is kind of like everyone's story where I kind of played Magic in middle school, like, the late 1990s for me at least, and then
Yeah.
just really kind of never again. And I kind of uncovered this one, and I was like, I love Star Wars, like this is incredible, and like haven't turned back from that. So yeah, this is really my first TCG, and I'd say I've gone like pretty far into it very quickly. So.
Yeah, and I'll sing your accolades because it's not cool if you do it yourself, so I'll do it for you.
No, please don't, because there are no accolades
No,
if you're new.
no, no. I mean, I remember the first time I played you was at Gilded Raven Games at in Somerset, New Jersey. I came in with Sabine Yellow deck, and you were there with a couple other people, and you were playing Cheroot Red, and you demolished me. And I was like, "Oh my God, this guy's so good." and then I continually saw like as I kind of joined the competitive scene, at least in locally, I saw you like play, and you consistently like dominated, and like you. I mean, I know you've won at least a couple sore showdowns between sets one, two, and maybe I don't know if you played any set three yet.
I'm hoping to get to, I mean, my plans yesterday were broken up with going to that, but not hoping to get to a couple of store showdowns. But yeah, I've been lucky to win a couple, but like I'm surrounded by like really, I mean, this community is awesome, so it's like good to learn from people like you and other people. So no, it's a
Oh
lot of
yeah,
fun. So.
for sure. I think it's kind of like a common theme in like a lot of the other episodes when we talk about the community. It's pretty supportive, and it's pretty cool that you can like chat with somebody about anything. Star Wars, pretty much like in the beginning, but like they're like, oh, I didn't know this happened or that happened. Like no one's like trying to hide like information kind of deal. So that's always pretty cool.
Like what I love is like coming from like a sport, I played a lot of sports in high school, played college baseball. There was always a certain, and even like getting ready, because I'm a teacher now, even getting ready to like go into teaching, I found there was like a lot of like unnecessary sort of competition of like, it wasn't like a rising tide rises boats all sort of situation. It was like a I need to win to get ahead of you. But like what I've been like so pleasantly surprised with, and like it's not just our group, but I'd say it's like just in general, is like everyone is willing to help each other out. And for someone who's new like me, or for like you, I'm sure that's like really helpful because you're able to take in a lot of information. And I know you're not like holding back information. Like we can have a legitimate conversation, which I very much appreciate, like about like what to change or where to go, or I know I'm getting like good advice, you know what I mean?
No, I that's awesome. I totally agree. And even at like learn to play tables, I kind of see like people like, oh, this, going back and forth. It's always really nice to just like see in general. Oh, one last thing I forgot. You actually, how many PQs did you go to last season? Go to last season, like two or three, right?
It's two.
Two. Did you actually top 16 another one as well?
Yeah, I did Sabine in both. I was able to top 16 both. So I went to Clifton and Red Seal, and got a 15th, I think, and 14th. So
Yeah. So
I'm
that's what
at, listen, as someone who had no goals going in,
I
like it's just
mean.
cool to have like it's like fun. It's like so much fun to be able to like see some results.
It's something that I'm still striving for. I'm still chasing that dragon. I've never gotten a championship yet. So like I it's always exciting. Again, good players, good person, and humble beginnings in terms of like the game and stuff. Which by the way, how did you find Star Wars Unlimited? Did you just like walk into a store one day and you're like, oh, what is this product? Or
No, what's so funny is I my fr friends of mine used to make content for Destiny,
Oh,
Star
okay.
Wars Destiny when that was out. So they were like on a competitive group and make content like ABG Gaming for like Destiny, and I missed that boat. But my friend like kind of about a year before the game came out, like was like, hey, there's a Star Wars TCG coming out made by FFG, like. And I was like, oh man, like, what are you guys gonna do? And they're all dads now with kids, so like they're, and I don't have, my wife and I don't have kids, but they can play a lot less than they like probably want to. And I'm like, oh man, this is incredible. So like literally, as cards were coming out, we were all printing out proxies, going
Oh,
to game
really?
stores trying to convince people to play, like, playing online a lot, obviously, like with just pre online platforms. And yeah, like literally, like as new cards were coming out, that was as the Discord, the main Discord was growing, was just able to like interact with a lot of people. That was like a really cool special moment of like those 9 or 10 months before the game actually came out, where we're all, the game's not even out yet, and we're all just so hyped about it. A lot of those faces. That's where I met, like, just interacted with like a lot of the people who are now making content. Just in those, the pre, I call it like the preseason, but yeah, it was just like I heard about it and got super hyped. My friend who, used to make content, like, told me about it, and I was like, oh, I'm going all in. So it's,
Yeah,
yeah. And my
you're
wife
like,
was like, I love this game too. Yeah.
re oh really? That's fantastic. It's
Yeah.
cool to get the it's a family affair. I tried to get my wife to play. We did. So, well, first of all, you're like actually OG. Like I'm like second wave fan in terms of like I walked into a pre-release like event. I was like, "What's going on here? What is this game?" And they're like, "Oh, this new game came out. You want to check it out?" So I bought some packs. I bought the starter set, the two player pack, the two player starter set, and I played with my wife. We played it completely wrong, and like I beat her like five times in a row. And then she didn't want to play anymore because I kept winning for whatever reason. But we were playing so wrong. Like I thought we had the mechanic where I thought you had to keep defeat all the units first before you could hit the base, which is completely, stuff like that.
That's a completely different game.
Yeah, completely different game.
What's so funny about those early times is like that's when Tower, who just joined McClunky, right? That I first met Tower, like interacting at that time, like online. It was like, it was a much smaller community back then, as we're all learning. But him and I played in like the first ever online tournament. We played against each other. Like that was like before all the cards were out and everything. It was just so much fun. So that's how I like interacted and like met Tower, back in the day now, right?
Yeah, so Tower Number 9, FYI, for anyone who's listening to right now or watching this video and for some reason doesn't know the name, check out his content. He's really good, right? He has a lot of like good stuff, really good advice, and he's like now joined the McClunky team as like a commentator, right? So like one of our main commentators. So just shout out to our boy Tower. But I didn't know that.
Really
That's like
knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, that's like good lore, like just history of the game, right? Was like you was like Veiled Shot there, like that guy, like around at that time?
Why did, that sounds so familiar. Maybe. I mean, I know it was like Tana, it was like Thork early on, Wu, right? And Wu was like local, so it was cool to talk to him a lot early on. But that was like as everything was learning, it was like so much fun early on. I mean, it's still so much fun now, but that was really cool. Like before cards were even out, like we're all just talking about it and stuff. But that was a ton of fun. So.
So, oh man,
And
so
I
you're
loved it. I mean, and the love of the game has only grown since then. So it's I love it. It's incredible.
yeah, that's like eBay Mafia. It's like those must have been such a really tight-knit group of like players that we were just do doing this together. And then now that it's grown, like I would say the community is in like the tens of thousands minimum, right? I would say, so growing from like the fledgling like half a dozen people into like that thing is awesome. So when you were, converting into like the game when it like actually came out, right? You already had seemed like you already had a lot of reps, at least with some of the sets, some of the
Yeah. That first set was so interesting. It's like, where it was only such a limited number, and you get to know the cards really well, and like, I'm literally like printing them out, right? And putting them on the backs of like, extra Lurkana cards or whatever, and then sleeving them up and playing, like just to play, reps. Like Andrew and Kyle, those guys I mentioned before, who used to make content for Destiny, they, we're printing out proxies, we're playing cards. That's how I learned. It's like Andrew and I were like literally in Massachusetts on like a fun trip with our wives, and it's like 9 o'clock, the wives are in bed, and we're just jamming games, and I'm like, I am not good at this game, but he's like, no, you will learn. He's like just decimating me because I had never played a TCG, like I don't get it, I hadn't gotten it. But like those early reps are just so important because I just didn't understand because I'd never played a TCG. But like those things like that were just so important of like just consuming so much information, like talking to people, like admitting that you weren't good, but being like, I want to learn, like that was just so important to like, that's like what I mean. That's what I do with teaching. It's what I do with lots of things. It's like
Yeah.
so important to have that mindset, just to keep wanting to grow, like and get better.
Yeah. When was the, it's interesting because like you said you like you kind of weren't good, and then but now I know you are. Was there like a specific turning point where you're like, oh, I get it? Like do you recall anything like that?
I think it was really just like that weekend that I mentioned with my friend Andrew. It really just kind of opened my mind into like the different styles, like aggro versus control, right, versus mid range. Like, and then I was like asking questions, and then it caused me to like make my own decks and like think about, it was probably never going to be viable ever again, but it was like my own creation. It was like working and it was doing well, other than against Boba. But like learning that, I'd say it was like being able to hit the ground running with set one, having such knowledge of all the cards up to that point that had really figured it out. That really helped. And it's like listening. I mean, so many people were making podcasts at the time, right? Big shout out to like the Golden Dice guys. Like those guys were great. And that
Yeah.
was right as like KTOD started up, right? Like those guys, like, and listening, just listening and hearing people talk about the game, I think really helped.
Yeah.
Because
No,
then
for
that
sure.
translates into the reps, right?
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's kind of like consuming that content, the reps and everything like that, like learning about it. So how often do you practice, do you think? Like
I
now that you
mean,
kind of have that basic understanding.
I try to go to like two locals a week, right? Just A, I think it's important to like support the game locally, right? So I
Yeah.
try to get to at least two locals. I mean, I'm lucky. Gilded Raven is like, I could throw a football to like Gilded Raven, right? It's
Oh,
like
so
right, it's
I
like
did
right now,
not.
it's so close. It's so close. And then I'm lucky in that like one of my best friends, Andrew, right, plays the game. So like once he puts his kid to bed, I'll play at his house like at least once a night, right? Like in person. So in person reps are good. Plus, like one of my other best friends, like Dave, you've met him. Like he's a coworker of mine. We work together. So it's like I'm so lucky in that like
Oh,
outside
nice.
of the really cool McClunky dudes that I've met, right? Like the team is awesome. We were able to practice online a lot. But like
Yeah.
on top of that, I also have this group of like people who are in my circle of like real life, people, and they all play, which is just, so I'm able to play a lot. It's and it doesn't feel like too much. It doesn't feel like a grind, right? It
Well, that's
feels like I'm
good.
just playing, I'm playing games with friends, right? You know what I mean?
No, I agree. As long as it's fun, right? You'll keep going. I think that like once it stops being fun, you gotta take a break from the game or whatever. No, whole 100%. For
I mean,
me,
and shout out to, oh yeah, like shout out to people like you, not to just name drop a bunch of people, but like Zach, Mike, like these are all like great guys that like we met at locals, and like you're all good people, so it's just easy to like sit, and Tyler, right, like these are all like awesome dudes that like, yeah, cool, I have my friends that play, that's great, but I also have like Gil and like you guys to play, which is just like, it incentivizes a lot more. So like my recommendation to anyone would be like find a group of people that you like. Like that just makes it easier to play. Like, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
for sure. Yeah, for sure. You don't want to play against
Like,
people.
how often do you play?
No, for me, there was a point where I was probably going 4 times a week.
Okay.
I really pared it back, mostly for the wallet and most and a lot of other store a lot of stores do draft a lot, and once you get kind of get your
Yes.
set, it's kind of like I don't
Yeah.
like the core set and you get like play sets. It's really hard to like motivate myself to do draft anymore. But I always do. So it's like a cycle. So now that I now here's what happens for me now. Every time a set comes out, I do draft for like a month and I'll do like twice.
Okay.
I'll do like 2 drafts a week, draft, 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 draft. And
Yeah.
then I stop doing draft and I do constructed for like the next month. And then tournament plays like the month after that. We're like, oh, store showdowns, right? So like I'm prepping for that. And then I kind of like the calm before the storm, like, okay. Next set's coming out in like another month, so I need to just hold out for a second, and then the cycle has been repeating itself. So right now I'm doing 1 or 2 a week, definitely at least one. I think it's like you said before, I think in any form or fashion, it's really good to get in-person reps because you're supporting the game, right? You're supporting your local community, you're supporting your local store, which is brick and mortar is like dying out like all over the place. So it's really nice to support them in that sense. And then just those mechanics are really important to do in person, like especially with like something like Han One Yellow, where you have to like pay and then defeat and then all these hand motions. Like if you're going to get into the competitive scene, you need to do that the proper way, or else you will get called on it, right? And
For sure.
Karabass And tabletop simulator can only do so much, right?
And it's almost like a crutch in that way, right? It's like, you need to, like, they're remind, those platforms are kind of like reminding you of it, right? But like in person, you need to know your triggers, right? You need to know your triggers, how to approach things, like the order, right? So that way you don't get, a judge, called on you, stuff like that. But yeah, you're right. Like the reps are so important, which is why I'm lucky to like get them as often as I can. It's like, whether it's like sneaking into Andrew's house at 9 o'clock after his kids are in, after his kid, after his kid is in bed, or, playing with my buddy who like literally I work with and we can jam a ton, ton of games. Like it's just super important, or just at a local, right? Like with people that you enjoy. Anyway, like you can get reps in, I think is super, it's fun. I mean, A, it's fun. And I think the more reps like you get, the more you can like figure out the lines, right? Of how to adjust, right? I mean, ideally, right, we all want our decks to play out perfectly, right? On curve, what we want, but it's like how we adjust, right? Is how we adjust those percentages and win, I think. And I'm still learning that. Like that's still like a journey, right? Trying to figure all that out.
Well, that's a good question. That's a good thing to kind of go into. So, once now that you're a really experienced player and you've had, a lot of success in my opinion, and you're also pretty humble about it actually, which I think is also really cool. How do you like what kind of things do you do to find the lines? Like how do you find them, I guess, is that kind of the question. That's a pretty broad question, I know. Maybe I could like simplify it a little bit better, more like you're faced with an opponent or faced with cards, and how do you know what ends up being a bad habit in like selection or like a good habit in selection? Like where do you draw that line? Like how do you define it, do you think?
I mean, if I had the answer, I mean, I think, I mean, that's like the eternal question. It's like trying to figure out whether you are making the best choices. Like, I know some people, I mean, you do, I mean, we interact with similar people where they look at the game from such an analytical perspective that I just, that's not how my brain works, right? It's they're looking at it from like a math and percentages standpoint, and like hats off to them. That's like, listen, I'm a history teacher, right? That's, that's not in my mindset. But to your, I guess to answer your question, it's like you always have to kind of know where, and this is not me, this is not any sort of original thought, right? It's like, where are you in this moment? Like, are you the one who should be pushing damage? Right? Are you the one who should be reactive? Are you the one who should be putting pressure? And like kind of just knowing the card pool to know like what is, all right, this is their leader, this is their combo. I know that I can't, if I'm against a blue villain, I know I can't leave, a card, a valuable unit out there because it's probably going to get powered to the dark side, right? Like, without even attacking. So stuff like that, I think it's just like a combo of like being prepared, right? Because the more you reps you get, the more you're prepared for like what cards might do. Which is why I think there's like some merit to some of those jank decks that like, are good, but like you have no idea what the, you have no idea what their game plan is. But I don't know. So I th it's like I wish I had a better answer to you. It's like I think it's just being comfortable with the game and asking people, like if you do something wrong, like in practice, like asking, like, all right, like what did I do there? Like, hey, if this were in my hand here, would this have changed the game? Right. And that's how you can like decide whether cards are valuable in the deck or not, right? Is like, right now in my Anakin deck, I'm going between whether like I need red three or whether I want K2. So it's like, so sometimes what you just do is you just like swap it out. Like, hey, if I had K2 in this situation and I could play it, would that be more valuable than like having red three out there? And then, it's just kind of like playing around with the scenarios. And that's how I think like you can make good adjustments to decks that can get you, because you have to play decks that, you're comfortable with. And the only way you can get comfortable with decks is like just trying things out. So I know that's not really an answer, and I apologize for
No,
that.
I
Like
no no. I
I'd be the first to admit that I don't have the answer. It's just like try it, right? Like just keep trying stuff.
No, I you know what that I think that's a great answer actually. I think one of the things that you kind of really hit on, one of the first things you mentioned was that like don't be afraid to seek help, which is also just really good like life advice, right? Like if something is like it's hard to do something in a vacuum, like by yourself. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think one time he talked about how like he wasn't a self-made man because people let him sleep on their couches. They helped him by letting him sleep on their couch, right? So like it's okay to ask for help in any form or fashion, which again sound life advice, but in the Star Wars Unlimited perspective, like you're right. Like so many people look at the game from a different style and different approach, like statistically, what how many first turn plays do you have, right? And then how does that convert into other plays like later down the line? That's like beyond me. Like I'm more force. Like let's just let the force guide me. Let the feeling of the moment like tell me what I need to play, right? But yeah, there's so many different styles and mechanics and scenarios, and you have to kind of just like to find the lines. You have to sometimes you have to ask like, would this have been better, right? Because you have your perspective, but if you're going to PQ, for example, or Worlds or the Galactic like Worlds or whatever, that's 100, 200, 300 people like have different perspectives and they're gonna play the game very differently from you. So
I think, not being afraid to ask questions, not like I think the first thing is like, is I mean the first thing I would admit is like I there are lots of people like that are way better than me, right? And I just want to hear from them. Like it's like they have infinite amount of experience, they have a different approach, right? They have something that can do it. So it's like being the first to admit, or at least I would be the first to admit that like I've had a little bit of like mild success because I've just like talked to people, right? And I've like asked people, or like I haven't been afraid to be like, hey, Gil, what's in that deck? Or hey, what's going on here? I mean, that's like incredibly valuable. It's just interacting with people that you trust, that you like, that you appreciate, like hanging out after locals, like talking online, going on podcasts, like hanging out in like a casual way. Like these are all things that like happened because of this game. And I think like building that sort of those sort of friendships, I think, and it doesn't, if I get if people don't want new friends, I get that. But like building these sort of relationships, I think helps because it gives you time to test with people, and B, like you can have like real conversations where it's not like you're not adversaries, you're just kind of like it'd be almost like I want to go to a tournament and I want to, I don't want friendly fire, but like I think the more friendly fire we have around us, it's better for all of us, right? It's like the more people you interact with and feel good with, like it's awesome. Like these are all people that I enjoy playing with, and they're all valuable. Like, and just like I would offer advice to them if they asked too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Because sometimes a lot the tournaments for Star Wars Unlimited are becoming more and more like monetized, right? There are 1Ks, 2K, up to 5Ks now, right? This is like still in the like against like Magic or whatever, it's like not a lot, but it's only been out for less than a year, right? And we're seeing like this kind of traffic where people are actually wanting to play. And how do you win those things? Like, there's a monetary value here, or even like in locals, right? Some stores like Bearded Dragon give 7 packs for the undefeated winner of like the Tuesdays. Other stores do one pack per win. But either way, there's a tangible result that is beneficial to you as the player to win. And to win, you need to, Rain Man it. You need to understand all the lines. You need to understand the cards. You need to understand the player perspectives behind it. So I think your approach, like you said, is like it's solid. Like, how do you get that in the right way? You gotta join a community or be part of it. You try not to, I'm not saying don't do things by yourself and just like play Karabath the entire time, but it only helps to have like friendly fire actually helps in this specific scenario.
I mean, I think we're really blessed. Like in our locals, it's like you go to like a casual local. I mean, you and I joke about this all the time, and like we're super good. Like everyone around us is so competitive. Like we have so many good players. You just go to a casual Bearded Dragon night. You know what I mean? It's like you got Mike, you got like Dave, you got myself, you like
Yeah,
Zach. Like it's just incredible. It's just crazy. I mean, I'm sure the showdown yesterday, right, it was just like a ton of people where it's like, oh man, this is like super competitive.
Oh yeah, yesterday there was 16 people there. I was surprised. I thought we and it we got more people, so that it became from a 3-round Swiss to 4-round Swiss and then a top eight cut. So it was a lot of games that ended up playing. I got my I had brain fatigue by like the end of Swiss. I was not expecting it because I didn't eat beforehand. I had like this like little sandwich. But I feel oh man, I
Always
was
eat
gonna
and always bring soda. Always. You have to always eat and always bring soda. That's the
yeah
key.
that's that's my fault. And yeah, hydrate. I was talking to McClunky team members like asking about brain fatigue, and they're like, you gotta meditate, you gotta hydrate, you gotta like if you're like already at the top, like maybe just don't play that last game, which is I never thought about that, but that's actually really good strategy for PQs. Like if you end up being 6-0, like you're gonna be in the top eight, right? So just take the last game off. Go eat something. Go sleep. I don't know. Like that's like I never would have thought about that. I was thinking like you gotta play it out, but like just take the break.
I mean, hopefully, Listen, I just hope to be in a situation where I can take a last round off. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's a good situation to be in. You know what I mean? You know, yeah,
Yeah.
I'll gladly take that last round off to listen to Taylor Swift for an hour and a half. We're good. Yeah, and then ride into the top eight. We're good.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, actually, one other mechanical thing, because I think we've been talking for a while now. Do you actually study the cards? Like, do you like so when you're finding lines and when you're preparing to do like when you're preparing to compete or you want to just learn about the game, some people, like for me, I actually just play, and then when a card comes up, I'm like, what does this do again? And then I learn at that point. But do you actually do the pre-work? You're like, do you actually read the cards and stuff and try to understand it before the set comes out or when the set comes out, so you already have a base understanding?
I do it. This is gonna sound very like wild. Is I do it like by cost, so where it fits in like curves, and like where it's played in the game. So like I'll look at like two cost units, within a color, right? And then what I'm looking for is like stats or a stat combo plus like ability combo that adds up to like above what I want, right? It's I guess like the general way to look at it is like cost. I'm gonna get this wrong, but like cost times two plus one, right? So like Battlefield Marine, for instance, right, is two cost, three. So you get six stats for two. So that's above that like two times two plus one model, right? Where it's like that's so like a 2-3, like a vanilla 2-3 would be an okay stat, but like here, right, you're getting Battlefield Marine for two cost for six stats. So like that's kind of like the equation in my mind, and then obviously like Sentinel and like Restore and stuff, you have to factor that into the equation. But like I'm looking at cards from that with that like equation in mind of like is it making sense stat wise with the abilities that are doing that. So it's like I'll look at like two cost things, and then like I can study them and I like throw them out. Like there's obvious throwouts, or there's ones that are maybes, or like hey, what are the merits of like Green Squadron A-Wing versus like Anakin's Interceptor. And then you think about like, all right, what plays into it? So that's like how I do it, is like I'll look at the cards and be like, when am I playing this? What does it kill if it's a unit, right? Who does it kill if it's attacking? If it's is it only a turn one, is it only when you have initiative? Is it only when you don't? Like, so that's like what I'm doing as I'm like looking through all the cards. And I think like staying on top of like previews helps with that. And like also just like being a nerd and just like looking through the cards, I think helps. It's like doing like that. So I don't want to say I like study the cards, but I definitely like think about them and where they fit into decks.
You know, that's a really good approach to card analysis. I've never heard that before. I might actually try doing that. You know, like that's a very interesting model. And I mean, for me, I think that we're interpreting that and understanding that or seeing it, that makes sense. And probably why your general deck construction is always solid when I see it, especially like that first like iteration when you bring it to like locals or something. Because, and here's what I mean. When you brought Chirrut out red, right? That was like 1 or 2 weeks before it became big for that short period of time. I remember this specifically. I was like, wow, this is a cool deck. And then all of a sudden I started seeing videos about it. I was like, oh, he's ahead of the curve. And then with the Anakin Blue, right? Like I felt like you had that deck already like made essentially before it like top aided some of the recent tournaments when Anakin Blue was coming out. So I'm like, okay, like I can see like at least fundamentally, like if you talk about the stats of the cards, they're performing the way they need to, right? Because they're probably the best value at that time for whatever the cards. And now you're just tweaking based on actual reality, right? It's like theory versus practical application, right? Yeah, okay.
No, I think applying those cards and like finding them and their spot and like what they do, and do they fit what your deck is doing overall. I mean, I what I will say is like I played a lot of different decks that won, right? Because I was learning the game, right? So like anyone who's new to the game, I would just say try to play as many different kinds. I didn't play control because like I just didn't vibe with me, but like I played a lot of different decks. Set one, set two I mostly, I mean even set two I played a couple different decks, and set three I'll probably play a bunch of different decks. But I think it's just the more varied reps, then you can also see what do other decks do that I can do into them, right? Like I think you almost have to like study, you have to study film, or you have to study other things to know how to beat them, so I think that's important too. Like so that's why, like for instance today, like I played my friend a bunch, and like he was playing, we're both playing Anakin right now, And I was like, oh yeah, I'll play a bunch of other decks. Like, cool. Like that way I could see how the deck that I'm playing interacts with these other decks. And I didn't mind. Like, I didn't view it as like not wasted time or like me not getting reps. It was just me trying other things while he's doing something else. So, I don't mind that. It's just not, not being afraid to do that sort of stuff, I think is fun. It's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. It's like a nice brain exercise for me.
No, I mean, hey, if you're playing chess, you can't be white the entire time. You got to be black sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, so it's the same perspective. Like, you have to change the deck or play from the other side so that, like, you see how it reacts, right? I think that's a very solid strategy as someone kind of is going on their Star Wars Unlimited journey, whether that in this particular talk in the conversation, like the competitive scene. No, I love that. That's fantastic. So, okay, we're running out of time. So I
Sure.
want to kind of wrap up with some maybe like one or two questions. And
Please.
I didn't prep you on this, so I'm sorry. But like, if you were gonna
Oh,
give,
God.
no, it's nothing crazy. If you were gonna give just advice to a brand new player who's starting out the game, right, that wants to, I don't know, collect, that wants to play, that doesn't really know what they want to do, like, what would you be your advice to them for Star Wars Unlimited for beginning their journey?
I would say, and I guess it's easy for me because I'm like a extrovert, is I would say, like, don't be afraid to talk to people. Talk to people, interact with people. Don't be afraid to like stand over a table and ask people questions. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, I want to learn this. Like, do you have an extra deck? And like, can we play? Can I like, I just do that sort of stuff. Is like, don't be afraid to step out of your shell and talk to people, because then you might find, again, like, this is, I've never played a TCG before, and now I'm surrounded by a ton of people I can like talk to about the game, right? Which is incredible, in my circle and, outside of it. Like, so talk to people, interact with people, ask questions. And I would say hear people talk about the game too. Like, it was really important to listen to a lot of the podcasts that were getting created in that preseason, time. And there's no shortage of really good podcasts, and creators, that are out right now. Just talk to people, right? See gameplay, listen to gameplay, watch McClunky streams, right? All sorts of stuff like that. I think,
Watch the
yeah, just
McClunky
see stuff.
streams. Watch the McClunky
Yes,
streams.
exactly.
I mean, those are actually pretty well produced, I will say. So shout out to our team. Okay, second question. This one might be actually really hard to answer. Well, maybe, I don't know. What is the best card in Star Wars Unlimited right now? Now, so I'm gonna give a perspective while I so you think about it. Maybe not the maybe the play one. Maybe it could be the most beautiful card. What looks the best. Maybe not the one that's played the best. Just give me perspective. Like, what is overall the best card in Star Wars Unlimited?
Here you go. Here you go. I think Cassian Andor, the unit, is, I think, one of the best cards in the game, right? So for three cost, you have eight points of stat. So a 3/5, which is incredible, right? Doesn't die to a lot of turn two plays. It survives a Tarkin town. It also can be smuggled and readied for 5. I mean, I think that's everything you want, right? It's push stats. It's a rebel tag. He has, 8 stats, and he has a really good, well-costed plus smuggle play. There's my argument.
I
I
mean,
think I think Cassian Andor.
I will say, I mean, one of the reasons I lost at the I couldn't take down this the showdown yesterday was because Cassian Andor. I played a Hantu yellow. Cassian came out. I could not take him down. My guys, even if he did the cheat out the two health, because I couldn't just do it. And he was pushing damage for like two turns. That's three hits. Boom, boom, boom. That's a lot of damage.
It's, I mean, it is a, I mean, there's, yeah, I listen, I think if we're going for non-obvious, like, I think Cassian Andor, incredible. My second choice would, of course, be Luke Skywalker unit. I think that's an
Oh,
incredible, best card in the game.
yeah, for sure. Well, you got both sides of the colors, red and blue. So I think we covered. I love that spicy like play, the Cassian Andor. I mean, and it's easy to get. It's not a rare, not a legendary. You can just play it, right? Fantastic. All right, well,
I'm here for it.
Paishan Jin, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. To everyone else out there who's listening, until next time, may the force be with you.